All right, five ways to increase your charisma. Now, again, these are not, I didn't get these from the Bible, okay? I think they have scriptural backing, but this is practical ways to increase our charisma. We're trying to develop. And all these are tied in with my research, secular research. There's been a lot of actually scientific research, sociological research on charisma. There was a lot to draw from. And I took some of the main themes. I found five main themes related to developing charisma. And those are our five main points. And then underneath them, we have four practical activities or things specifically related to that theme. And what we're going to do, I'll tell you in advance, we're going to go through each one of them. We'll talk a little bit, some more, less, some more, some less. And then at the end, what I want you to be thinking about, I think you have a practical, can I see your next page there? Yeah, okay, so the assignment is, what are three things you can do immediately to improve your charisma rating the most? Okay, so that's what will be our practical exercise at the end. So as we're going through this, I want you to be thinking, like the ones that are really standing out to you, maybe the Holy Spirit will put His finger on a particular area, something like that. We okay? All right, so first one is cultivate your mind. Cultivate your mind. It seems to be that influential people have provocative things to say. They have something to say. They're not just empty-headed. So first way to develop your charisma is cultivate your mind. And let's talk about some specifics. Number one, read widely and deeply. And first of all, you're not going to be able to do all 20, okay? So some of these might really stick out to you. Some of these you might not be interested at all. And you don't have to do all 20 to be charismatic, or charismatic leaders don't necessarily do all 20. These are just various different suggestions that can get you towards an end goal of being more charismatic, more attractive in your leadership. And the first one is read widely and deeply. And I put that first because that's what I love to do the most. So I want to try to convince you to read widely and deeply. Now there's two things in mind there. Widely is diversify your reading. Diversify your reading. Some people, they might read deeply, but it's not very wide. They always read the same kind of things. And I try to be as diverse as possible. Actually, I have a personal goal is that I would know enough about every topic in the world to fake somebody out for 10 minutes. That's just a personal goal of mine. To fake them out for 10 minutes. And by fake them out, initiate an intelligent conversation. If it goes beyond 10 minutes, I'm going to be exposed as a fraud. But at least for the first 10 minutes, they think, this person knows something about what I'm interested in. And it becomes an initiator, a way to have a real conversation about something that I really do care about, the kingdom of God. So I want to just know about everything. And it's part of the way I'm wired, is I have an insatiable curiosity. I am tormented about everything that I don't know. Some people like to go to bookstores. I don't like to go to bookstores. It's physically painful. Physically painful. I feel a pain in my gut. Like, oh, so many books, so little time. I did some research about this because I'm kind of obsessive about certain things. So I researched how many books are available, like how many books are in the Library of Congress. Okay, that's considered It's one of the, that in the British Library, two of the greatest libraries in the world. So the number of titles in the Library of Congress, and then I prorated the number of new titles that are printed every year. And yeah, then I figured out how many years left I have, and reading 50 books a year, because I can do 50 books a year. So based on how many books are available or will be available, I'm giving myself another 30 years of solid. I mean, I may go beyond that, but that'd take me to 87. So at that point, I just may just want to sleep a lot. Not read so much. Just sleep and watch television. But the next 30 years, I got 30 years, 50 books a year for 30 years. All the number of books there are, plus the new ones will be added, total number. I came up with an equation. I figured that I have to say no to 15,000 books. Yeah, I have to say no to 15,000 for to read one. Yeah, so to read 50, I have to say no to 50 times 15,000 that I won't get to read. I can't do it. So I have to think wisely. I want to be strategic. I only get 50 a year. There's all these books that I will never get to read. And people always give me books. They say, oh, you'll love this book. They think, you know, I don't know what they think, but they think, if people just give me books, I think, I would love to read that. But to read that, I have to say no to 15,000 other books. And I just can't say no to them. So I'm going to say no to that book. Thank you for giving it to me. I mean, it'll go on my shelf and maybe. But the chances are I just won't read it because there's just a limited number, so I only get 50. So I better be wise in the 50 that I pick. And I want them to be diverse, okay? Because I like to read really thick books on theology, and I like to read comic books. And just about everything in between. So if you came to my library at home, you would see massive, thick, gigantic books. I mean, Lethal Weapon kind of books, you know? You could kill people with those books. And then you see a pretty good collection of comic books and everything in between. So I read widely. So I read business success books. I read novels. I read the other side. I read the atheists and the people who are attacking Christianity. And I just try to get a diverse kind of reading. But then I also try to read deeply. So some books that are valuable, books that are good. If a book is really worth reading, it's worth reading again. And those are the kind of books I'm looking for. So one of my favorite authors, a man named F.F. Bruce, theologian and linguist who died a few years ago, he wrote a book called New Testament History, which is all the background of the silent years and the 100 years of the New Testament period. So 500 years of world history that affects the Bible. And it's a pretty thick book. And when the first time I read it, I got to the end, and I just turned back to page one. And then just started again. Just read right through it again. So I read Francis Schaeffer's apologetic works in the 80s. And he's got three big, out of his major collection of books, three of them were his apologetic works. And the first one I read through, and then when I got to the end, I started over and read it again, and then I read it again, and I read it again. So four times through, it took for me to understand. So I read deeply. I'm a huge fan of Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. I'm halfway through The Two Towers in my 21st reading of the trilogy. So when I get to the end, I just start back over. You know, I got digital copy, so I just keep going on and on and on and on. So, yeah, question?
Since you're neighbors in your community,
you're strategic about. Yeah, you need to put the microphone.
Hello. Since you are diverse and strategic in your readings, are you conscious on who's the author?
Conscious?
Yes. Are you particular?
Very particular, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So somebody that I know already, you know, he's already got a track record. So I know what I'm going to get. So it's dangerous investing in someone you're not quite sure about. So But I'm kind of that way anyway, you know, like when I go to a restaurant, I order the same thing. Like that, I don't even want to look at the menu. I know what's good. I've had this. That's all I need. I just, that is fine. So I know an author. He'll be good. So I'll read him. Yeah. Read widely and deeply, okay? Number two, fellowship with intelligent and articulate people. Of course, that assumes you know some, but I hope you do. Spend time with people who are smarter than you are. It will lift you. I have a meeting. When I go home, we have sort of a standing gathering. There's a place in downtown Nashville called the Flying Saucer. It's a restaurant bar. And I meet regularly there with two of the smartest people that I know. And these are really smart people. Sometimes people introduce me as a smart person. I think, if you think I'm smart, that just shows me how dumb you are. When you met a really smart person, then you know what smart really is. And so I meet with two really smart people, Stephen Mansfield, number one, and a man named Bruce Fiddler, who some of you may know. And those are smart people. And if you want to know smart, that's smart. So we go to the gatherings, and I bring prepared questions. So I got a whole list of questions, and I start, so what do you guys think about theosis? Give me some feedback on that. And then I'll just let them go, and I've learned enough to ask wise questions, but then I just want to hear what they have to say. And I spend most of my time asking questions and just shutting up and listening. And I love hanging around with smart people like that. Every time I go, I'm better. I'm different. I'm smarter. I'm thinking more clearly. So fellowship, make some regular scheduled time. Find somebody who's smarter than you. Hang out with them and shut your yapper. Let them talk. Don't spend the whole time just talking and talking. Let them talk. Fellowship with intelligent and articulate people. Number four, continue your educational and professional development. Continue your educational and professional development. I don't understand people who don't keep learning. I don't comprehend it. The average college student in America, average college graduate in America, for the rest of their life, will read, on average, less than one book a year. Less than one a year. I don't understand that. These are not illiterate people. These are college graduates. But the rest of their life, they'll read less than one book a year. Less than one a year. I just don't understand. I can't comprehend it.
Because there's a lot of clubs in
there. There's a lot of what?
Parties.
Too many parties?
Yeah, too many parties.
This is after graduation. You're a working man now. Less than one a year. I don't understand it. Continue your educational and professional development. I don't understand it, but also I'm, in one sense I'm discouraged by it, but in another sense I'm encouraged because the bar isn't very high. we should be able to outdo that, right? We should be able to at least do two books a year, right? Yeah, Jonah.
I have a question for this, okay, regarding maintaining your educational and professional development. Because
yeah,
sometimes when you work for church, you know, your background actually or your educational attainment, it's not your job in specific. For example, I am a graduate of chemical engineering, but yet my
of
work...
What?
Chemical engineering.
I don't hear that first word.
Chemical.
Chemical, thank you.
Chemical engineering, but then my work is as finance officer, so sometimes you're limited with what you can do because you have.
But your professional development is the direction that you're going in professionally.
Okay.
So if you want to
continue,
if you plan on staying in finance, then you continue that development. Do you understand?
So not necessarily the educational background that you have.
No.
So that means the profession that you have right now, you can continue and develop it, for example.
Or where are you going? Where are you going in the future? So you may be in finance now, but that may be just, I'm just paying the bills.
It's just
It's just, well, maybe I'm not paying the bills, but it's just a job.
Of course.
I mean, it's just a job I have because I need money right now at this point in my life. It's not necessarily what I know I'm supposed to be doing this for my life. Yeah. Do you understand the difference? Like sometimes we do things because we know this is what, this is my mandate, my calling for my life. Other times it's, I need a job. This is a pretty good one. I can do pretty good at it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it unto God with all my heart and all that kind of thing. But if I had the perfect world, this is what I'd be doing. That's what you should be preparing for.
Mm.
It's what that is.
Okay. But, you know, sometimes for girls, we ended up, you know, taking care of the house.
Yeah, I understand.
Taking care of the kids. More of.
I understand. Yeah. That's what you don't have to do all of these, okay? So. Okay, this is not a checklist. You got to check everything off. Some of these things will click with others. Sometimes people come to this and they get a sense from the Holy Spirit. They need to start, they go to night school, or they need to take a course, or they need to whatever. Whatever you're called to do, whatever your passion is, whatever you know, that's the direction God wants you to go in. Keep growing. Continue your educational professional development. Right? And then improve your vocabulary. You might be surprised by this one. Improve your vocabulary. I love this topic. And so much I can say about vocabulary. There's been massive amounts of scientific, sociological studies on the correlation between vocabulary development and career success. Fascinating. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. It's not just a few little studies here and there. It's a great weight of studies. And there is a clear, undeniable, direct correlation between vocabulary development and annual income. Annual income. It's just undeniable. Vocabulary development and annual income. Increasing your vocabulary statistically will generate more cash in your wallet. It's just a fact. So many studies they've done where they've examined test groups who worked on their vocabulary as opposed to those who didn't. And watching them for 10, 20, even 30 years, career development. Okay, it's not like a personal guarantee. Like if I learn 100 words, that means I'll make 50,000 more pesos this year. Okay, it doesn't work like that. But it's a statistical correlation. Does that make sense to you? So statistically, people who develop their vocabulary make more money than people who don't. Just a reality. Improving your vocabulary is the single easiest way to increase your communication skills. People ask me, I've been preaching publicly, speaking publicly for 35 years, and developed a pretty good skill at it. And they ask me, what's been the main thing that I've done, practical advice to get better? Number one, by far, the thing that has helped me to be articulate and to communicate clearly is conscious, steady, consistent vocabulary development. I've been developing my vocabulary strategically, systematically for 30 years. So it's something I do consciously every week. Always building, always adding to my vocabulary. And there's so many values that happen. Some people think, you learn all those words, but people don't understand the words, so you can't use them. That's not the goal of vocabulary development. It's not to be confusing. It's not to astonish your friends at parties. It's to understand. Words are the medium by which we understand. Matter of fact, that's why in an IQ test, the closest correlation to high IQ that they can find is vocabulary. It's not just that smart people know more words, it's that words contain ideas. And you can't grasp concepts without the language, without the words, in order to be able to grasp them. And so just learning words makes you smarter. It helps you to understand the things that you already understand much more clearly. It helps you, the words that you already know, it helps those become more clear and more well-defined. It helps in so many different areas. And it's so easy to do. Yes? You've lost your name tag, Rhea, but it's okay.
You mentioned earlier that you're doing this strategically, like every week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How exactly is...
I've done different things.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had different things all over through my life. So in the beginning, I started with 3x5 index cards. You know, because I'm old. I mean, this... When I started, computers filled rooms these size, you know. That was a computer. So there wasn't anything like digital, right? So just cards. I had a 3x5 card, so I hear a new word, and I'd write it and write the definition, write it in the sentence, put it in my card file.
So it's something that you encounter during the week? Because personally, yeah. I do the Reader's Digest thing.
Sure, yeah, I do that. I do all kinds of things. So it started that way. Then... when I got my first computer, okay? Well, now we can digitize this, okay? So Evernote, I have a file in Evernote for new vocabulary words. I subscribed for a long time to dictionary.com. Every day they would send you a new word, right? So I get a new word a day, you know? Okay? I read books on vocabulary development. There's all kinds of them out there. Just read books on it that give you tests and drills and all kinds of things. I do a crossword puzzle every day. So it's a part of my daily routine. I'm pretty regimented in my daily routine, you know. So after my devotions, I cook the same meal for myself every day. And I subscribe to a crossword puzzle service. So I pay $4 a month for it, you know. So I got access to all kinds of puzzles. But I do one a day. I do the USA Today every day. And then I, you know, for hobbies, you know, on off days, I do crossword puzzles. And, you know, that's what I do for fun, you know. Let me tell you, there's all kinds of weird people in the world. So I know it's weird. So there's just so many different things. I mean, everything short of sleeping on a dictionary, that won't actually help, okay? I thought about that, but that won't actually help. So. Analia, you were going to say something? You look like your hand was...
Me?
Yeah?
No, I wouldn't just...
She put it in her purse. She's going to take it home with her. Yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and talk and JoJo will take care of you. Don't turn it off. JoJo's running things back there. Are you touching the buttons, Rhea? JoJo, I think they need your technical expertise. We need a tech guy to tell us which button to push.
Yeah. I actually met this person last night, and he is ideation and input.
I like him.
Plus learner.
I like him.
So he has a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
But the problem is he can't communicate. He told me, I'm having problems communicating my thoughts.
Yeah.
Then I told him, exactly, because you can only go as far as you can communicate.
Yeah,
so,
it's true.
So he told me, yeah, I need someone to help me.
Yeah.
So
vocabulary.
He's a very talented person. But
yeah. But ideators will have that tendency because the ideas are coming too fast. They're just coming too fast, so you can't keep track of them all. They're going in so many different directions. And then intellection, he's just spending way too much time by himself thinking.
Yes. Yeah. He actually needs to
He's spending way too much
think.
Time. I don't know him, but I can tell you he's spending way too much time by himself thinking. And it's getting him in trouble. Yeah. He needs to get out and actually interact with human beings. Okay. Here we go. Number two. Are you ready? Can you take some more? Okay. Improve your attitude. Improve your attitude. Yeah. I do pretty good on the first one. I'm a little weaker down here. Improve your attitude. Okay. Express enthusiasm for people and projects. Express enthusiasm for people and projects. Now, I write that down, and some of you who are naturally people-oriented and positivity and woo and people like that, you're just thinking, duh, this is of course. But see, people like me need to actually consciously do this. I got to think about this. It's like it has to be a checklist in my mind. It's actually a skill I had to develop. It just doesn't come naturally. But I found how powerful it is. When someone tells you about something they're doing, genuinely express enthusiasm. That is so great. I'm so excited. Tell me more about that. And be enthusiastic. It's very attractive, magnetic to other people. So some of you just might normally do that. Some of you maybe never thought of that, like me. Exude confidence. Exude confidence. And I say it that way because as a Christian, confidence is something you can actually just put on. I don't mean pretend. I mean just put it on. Put on Christ. Put on confidence. Now, one of the hardest things for me to do is to meet new people. I'm very shy and introspective. And that may be surprising to you because obviously I don't come across that way, but it's taken me years to learn. So I naturally, if I've got my choice to stay home and read a book or watch a movie or go out to a gathering or go out with people, I'll always default to stay home. Always. It's my just default mode. If my wife gives me the choice, she knows what I'm going to choose. So sometimes I just say, you just decide for us. Don't give me the choice. So I'm very shy, especially meeting new people. The idea of going to a place where I don't know people and having to meet new people is terrifying to me. But I've learned, because my job, my role, my responsibility, my calling, I have to improve my attitude. And so I talk to myself. I have pep talks in the mirror before a gathering. You know, it looks like something like this. You love people. Yes, I love people. You like to meet new people. Yes, I like to meet new people. You're going to be very friendly tonight. Yes, I'm very friendly. And I just go back and forth. We just have this pep talk. Trying to stir myself up. And so I take a deep breath and I just go, hi, I'm Paul. What's your name? And the whole time I'm going, just do that. Just exude confidence. So just put it on in Christ. And the more I do it, the less I have to have those self-talks. The more it becomes a part of me. So you can improve your attitude. Just exude confidence. Even when you don't, what's the expression? Fake it till you make it. Just act like you're confident. Display a positive outlook on life. Again, these are maybe seem so elementary to you, but for me, I'm a natural born pessimist. I'm just planted that way. My tree just bends in that direction. I come from a family of world class pessimists. Yeah. If negativity was an Olympic sport, they'd be on the platform. I don't know if they'd get the gold, but at least the bronze or the silver medal. So just my background, my whole orientation. My first thought is always it won't work. My first thought is, I'm in trouble. My first thought is, this is going to be bad. Just my natural. That was scary. That was outside, though, wasn't it? Was it that speaker? No, JoJo, sure it wasn't the speaker. It sounded like it came from right there, didn't it? Anna, did it come from that? But you know, it could have been one of those, what do they call the arc, they're welding out there. Okay, do you think we're okay, JoJo? I'm going to tell you, JoJo, we've been together for a long time. If JoJo tells me it's fine. I always request JoJo. If JoJo's with me, things are going to go good. So, if he says it's okay, we're okay. If fire starts coming out of there and he still says it's okay, I'm going to believe him. Display a positive outlook on life. So to me, the glass isn't even half empty. It's got a crack in it, and it's it's like my DNA. If you could look into my DNA, you'd see negativity, despair. So I have to consciously display a positive outlook on life. Number four, express a strong purpose and a clear vision. This goes back to confidence and achievement. When you know who you are, you know where you're going. You know what your purpose, you know what your destiny in life is. That is very attractive to others. So find out, where am I going? What's my purpose in life? Be clear about it, communicate that, and let that exude from who you are. Any thoughts and comments about improve your attitude? Okay? Let's go to number three. Expand your achievements. Expand your achievements. Discover the gifts God has given you and use them. Discover the gifts God has given you and use them. And the best thing I can say here is keep your gifts in priority. Don't let your number one gift become your number three priority. Part of the way that I'm wired, I have a lot of interests. Really, I could get interested in just about anything on the planet. It's just something to learn. It's something interesting. And so I have to be conscious. Because I could go off in a lot of different directions, spend a lot of time learning stuff that are fascinating to me, but it's really not the primary priority of what my gift, what the contribution that I have to make to you, to God's people, to the people that I'm connected with. So I got to focus on what's my priority, what's my main gift? What do I do better than 10,000 other people? What's my superpower? And make sure I'm spending the largest percentage of my time on that. Does that make sense to you? The second thing is develop expertise in particular skills. Now, I think this one is so important. I have so much to say about this, more than I probably have time to. But I've noticed something. I'm 57 and been in ministry 35 years. And I've watched in my own development and I've watched in other people's development a phenomena. And I realized that this is the era of the specialist. And you have to figure out what you're great at and become the best around at it. I counseled a couple of people in the last year that were in similar situations. They had started in campus ministry, and now these two people were mid-30s, mid-later 30s. They weren't senior pastors. They weren't going to be senior pastors. And unfortunately, what they hadn't done is they hadn't developed a particular talent, a particular skill that would make them valuable so that someone would employ them and give them the kind of salary, because these people had families now and growing families, the kind of salary that you would need. And so both of them were in financial difficulty. They were good all-around ministers, you know? But there was not one thing that someone would say, he's the best. So I'm going to hire that guy. What do you need? And I need $70,000. Okay, well, I'll find a way to get it. Because I got to have, you're the best, I got to have that. So these guys were struggling. They were on MPD, but they were wanting to transition into a vocation. But no one would pay them the kind of salary that they need because of their age, their situation in life. They didn't develop a specialty. And I realized inadvertently, I mean, I wasn't thinking along these lines, but I developed a specialty. So I'm not a senior pastor. And if the kind of money that I need and want and should get after 35 years of experience, you don't pay a person that money who can just, you know, so it can do a lot of different things, kind of a jack of all trade. You pay a specialist, someone who's the best. Well, he's the best, okay? Well, you got to pay for the best. So I've been able at 57 to continue in financial increase in my life because I developed a specialty. Now, what that really means is most things I can't do. Most things I can't do. And I had to be okay with that. I'm just not very good at that. Because I thought, I know this, I can do this. And I know if I concentrate on it, I can be the best one around. And so that's what I'm going to do. And it worked. And I think this is the key for all of us. Is I know your job probably requires you to do a lot of different things, and that's just a reality. But you got to think, what's my superpower? What's something that if for the next 10 years I work on it, I can be the best in the Philippines, or I can be the best in the Victory World at that. I'm the best. And so I'll always be in demand. I'll always be needed. And I can keep getting raises. I can keep getting financial increase because people pay for the best. Does that make sense? Give me some pushback on that. Mike, what do you think about that? It's okay.
For improving the skills, it goes back to the one earlier, which is what Jonah mentioned about finding ways to improve yourself. And perhaps one thing is really to go outside. If there's nothing, there are trainings outside. There are a lot of free trainings outside that you can get also to help us. So that's what I think about.
And I think it's knowing where God's taking you. I'm very conscious 10, 12 years ago, I had a job. I originally hired to be our director of what was then VLI in the States, and then of course became ENLI. I was hired for that job. But I knew I could see where I was going, and I knew what I was heading towards. And so all of my non-job time I was spending doing things that didn't actually help me be much better at that particular job, but it was preparation. Because I knew where I was going, and I knew I was going to need to know certain things when I got there. And so I was 10 years ago, I was preparing for this moment. 12 years ago, I was already thinking. I didn't know all the details. I mean, it was vague, but it was general. It was clear enough that I know I'm weak here, I got to get this. I got to get this, this, and this. And so I was conscious I was doing things that I knew weren't really helping right then, but there was a day coming I was going to need that. So it requires that kind of foresight, thinking, God, where am I going? Where will I be in 10 years, 15 years? What's the superpowers you've given me that I can do better than anybody else? And I'm okay to wait 10 years. I mean, I was okay really to wait. and just good gradual increases, gradual raises, gradual more responsibility, more influence. But that's okay, because I knew a day was coming. Because God's at work, you know. I have a strong belief in the providence of God and His sovereignty, and He would arrange things. But when that day came, I wanted to be ready, having prepared myself for what I would need. So develop expertise in particular skills. Has that got your mind thinking?
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Set clear goals and work diligently to achieve them. Now, for some people, this is important. I know I remember her saying, Steve Merle say one time, said, I never set goals. So some people are goal setters, others aren't. Again, this is not a checklist. You have to do all of them. But if you're oriented that way, this is a great way to expand your achievements by getting real clear goals. I'm not much of a goal setter, but at least not really specific kind of goals. I remember doing a StrengthsFinder assessment with Lynn Nawada, who is strategic achiever, and he's a crazy goal setter. And I don't know if this is still the case. This was 2008. But she, at that time, every night, she would set hourly goals. Yeah, hourly goals for every hour of the next day's work week or work day. She had hourly goals. And she had them in her phone, and she was clicking them off. You know, did she hit that goal for that day? Now, to me, that just makes me really tired. I mean, I just want to take a nap just thinking about having to do that. That's not how I am. I'm a lot more vague. Like, I realized a while back that my Old Testament knowledge was weak. And so I set a 2-year goal. I'm going to master the Old Testament. So, I mean, that's as specific as the goal was, okay? So, for me, that's my kind of goal. It's not like every hour, you know, it's not very measurable. You know, how will I know? I don't know exactly, but I just know what I got to do, and that's what I'm thinking. So all of my devotional reading, all my study is all Old Testament. So set clear goals and work diligently to achieve them. Find good role models, good role models. I know Alex Castillo always talks to us. I don't know, has he been here with us? Did he do his little thing on role models?
Not yet.
Not yet? Yeah, okay. Well, he's got a great one on role models. Got a great testimony about his son. Did he hear the story about his... Okay, you haven't heard him talk about that yet. His son was in university or something, and there was a textbook, an obscure textbook that he had to study, and he got a hold of the author who happened to live... I think it was in New York City. I don't want to tell the whole story because it's Alex's, but anyway, through a whole process of thing, this guy agreed to meet with him and mentor him, you know? And, you know, it was a college textbook. He's never had anybody call him, say, could you help me work through your book and, you know, meet with me? I'll buy lunch for you. And he was thrilled. And so this guy started a mentoring relationship with this person. So Alex talks about finding a good role model, a mentor, someone who 5-10 years, that's what I want to be doing, that's who I want to be. That person has a skill. That's where I think God's taking me. Find that role model, and you know, you may be able to have interaction with him. A lot of my role models are dead people, so it's hard to... It's hard to get quality time with dead people, okay? I'm just telling you. They're real elusive about their schedule. So I spent a lot of time with dead people. Obviously, I'm reading, okay? So Charles Spurgeon, I want to be like him when I grow up. So he's my role model. Actually, he died at 56, so I've already surpassed him. But so I hang out with him. And no, not seances, okay? I read his writings. And I'm, teach me, Charles, teach me. I want to know, how did you preach? And find good role models, okay? That's a good time. We'll break here.